Our lesson today is based on a scripture found in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You see, Jesus and his disciples had come to visit. It wasn't just Jesus. It wasn't just one guest she had. She had Jesus and his disciples. At least 13 people coming for dinner. And her sister is sitting there listening to what Jesus is saying, what he's teaching. She's trying to take care of everything. And so she comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, don't you care that she's left me to do everything by myself?" "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, people have looked at that and said, well, Jesus is saying, you know, all you need is a casserole. You just need one thing. And I think that's one way it could be interpreted. Martha, you don't need to make all this preparation. Just make one thing for us. That's all we need. Another way to look at that is there are many things that you're worried about, but there's only one thing that's really important. And Mary has chosen what's really important. And that's what we want to concentrate on today. What is really important in this life? You know, in our society, we look up to the Marthas. We look up to the doers, while those who take time to listen and learn things are considered to be wasting time. One of the most common phrases that we hear this time of year is "they're fighting for you," indicating that this or that politician has your best interest in mind, but the media only reports what they did or where they went or what they said about somebody. You notice they never tell you what they actually believe about something. And depending on who they talk to, they change their message. They'll say one thing to one group and something else to another group. And you never know just what they believe. People seem more interested in what a candidate will do for them than what they believe or what they stand up for, what the truth is. When you look at the political landscape now and you see the people who are running and you say, surely that person won't be elected. And yet, it seems that they're leading in the polls, and you say, how can that be? Don't people listen to what they say they believe in? Don't people listen to what someone says they are going to do? No, people only look at, well, what can they give me? What can they do for me? That's not the way that the scriptures describe Christians ought to be. It even shows up in some congregations. People are more concerned about what a person can do for them rather than if they're following God's word or not. You know, if I go to this place, if I go to this congregation, then I'll get all this stuff. So I'll go there. Doesn't matter if they're teaching the truth or not. It doesn't matter if they're following the scriptures or not. They give me stuff. And so I'm going to go there. It seems more importance is put on gaining members rather than a doctrine or purity. Too often the Martha of this world are celebrated while the Marys are ignored or complained about. But you see, Jesus disagrees with our priorities. He says only one thing is important, and Mary has chosen it. And what did she do? She chose to listen to Jesus to learn what God has done for her and what he expects from her. God always wants us to listen to him. Matter of fact, the Shema, the Jewish main points, as we might say, starts this way, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, listen, Israel, listen to what I'm saying. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. People took that literally, but he's saying, listen, the most important thing is to get it in your mind. Why would you write it on the doorpost of your house so when you go in and out, you see it and it reminds you? Why would you bind it on your hands or on your foreheads so that it would remind you? We have to think about these things. We have to listen to what God has said. Too often we hear it on Sunday and we forget it on Monday. We need to continue to listen and remember and follow what God says. You remember Jesus fended off Satan by quoting part of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, when he said, when Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting scripture in order to fight the devil. We need to be able to know God's word so that when temptation comes, we know what the scripture says. The Bible stresses the importance of listening to the words of God, and yet we often, even unconsciously, go against that principle and look to the Marthas rather than the Marys. We say things like, and we have sayings like these, actions speak louder than words. A picture is worth a thousand words. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Talk is cheap. While sayings like, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk, are often ignored. Even in education today, the focus is on self-directed education. What that means is you figure it out on your own. You don't have anybody teach you anything. You just, here it is, you figure it out on your own. Rather than having knowledge imparted through actual teaching, our society is throwing listening on the garbage heap of old-fashioned ideas. And yet that's the very method that God chose to get his message across. We're told in Romans 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. God chose listening to get his message across. And remember back in 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 25, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The whole passage says, and starting in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know him. Why didn't they know him? Because they didn't listen. Because God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. If you don't listen, you're not going to know. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. You see, Jews are looking for physical things, signs. Greeks are looking for smarts, wisdom, philosophy. But we do what? We talk. We preach Christ crucified. You need to listen. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God knows more than we do. We need to listen to him. You remember the words of Jesus, Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken away from her? We need to rethink our priorities. It's time to open our ears, listen to the word of God, and apply it to our lives. You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God himself said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. God could have said all kinds of things to those disciples, but he didn't say, watch Jesus, although they did. He didn't say, follow him around and go where he goes, although they did. God said, listen to him. He's telling you what you need to know. He's telling you what you need to listen to. You know, if we are to follow Mary's example, we have to assume a certain mental position. Mary seated herself at the feet of Jesus. That's the role of a student in the presence of a master teacher. The student would go and they would sit at the feet of the teacher, and the teacher would then tell them the things that they need to know. And Jesus is the master teacher, as stated in Philippians 2 and verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus knows all that we need. He has insights in the life that we need to hear. Will you take the time to put aside the distractions of the world and for a time sit at Jesus' feet? And once Mary was there, she listened. We need to cultivate the art of listening. Discipline ourselves to pay attention to what's being said. Because there are all kinds of distractions. I mean, even in the worship service, there are things that make our minds wander. All kinds of things that can distract you, you know, in the worship service. We need to do whatever it takes to set our mind on God's Word. To put away the distractions. To follow the Scriptures. Now, when you're studying at home, it may take things like going to a quiet place away from the TV and other distractions. It may take reading the Scriptures to other people. It may take taking notes on the Scriptures, whatever is necessary. It may take reading them aloud. Just whatever you have to do to center your mind on what God is saying. And one more thing. When you read, read and study from a translation that you understand. If the newer English versions make you uncomfortable, then go ahead and read King James, but read something else with it too so that you can understand what it's saying. Sometimes we need to think about, you know, her hap was delight on a field. What? In King James? Her hap was delight on a field? What does that mean? Well, look it up and see what it means. You know, the old English is good, I guess, if you understand it, but most of us don't understand it. We need to find something we can understand. We need to understand the Word of God because that's where faith comes from. If you can't understand it, you can't have faith. Solomon said in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance." And Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 10, "Listen and understand." Look at the words of Christ in Luke 8, verse 16 to 18. "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." We can't hide anything from God. Notice verse 18, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." If you don't listen, what you thought you knew is going to disappear. You need to listen to what he says. And by listening, it means apply what you hear to your life. Otherwise, it's useless to you. Otherwise, it'll disappear. If you just hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change your life at all. In Luke 6, verse 47, Jesus said, "As for the one who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my word," notice they heard too, but they didn't put it into practice. That's the difference. "It's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Jesus said if we don't listen to his voice and don't put it into practice, it does us no good and our life's going to collapse. Why are so many people collapsing in this world? Why do we have so many problems in lives? You know, people struggling, they have life problems because they're not following what God said. When you don't follow what God said, you're going to have life problems. Because God is the one who designed life. He knows how we're supposed to live it. And if we refuse to live it, if we refuse to follow what he says, yes, we're going to have problems. Jesus tells us that. The house is going to collapse. Notice whether you're listening to put it into practice or not, the storms still come. The torrents still come. The rain still come. The floods still come. There's still going to be problems in this life, but you'll be able to deal with it. You won't have those things that just knock you back and you don't know what to do because you have God on your side. And Jesus said, if we don't listen to his voice, we don't belong to him. In John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will do what? They'll listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We've got to listen to Jesus. If we don't listen to him, we don't belong to him. Now, by listening to him, he doesn't mean just hear what I say. He means hear what I say and put it into practice. How do we know that? Look at what he says. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And what do? They don't just hear my voice. They follow me. They put what I say into practice. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then in John 10, verse 27, which we just read there, he's not going to allow anyone to snatch us away. When we belong to Jesus, we belong to Jesus. Satan can come and threaten you. Satan can come and throw this temptation and that temptation at you. But if you belong to Jesus, God said, nope, Satan, you can't do that. I'm not going to allow you to overwhelm them. I'm not going to allow you to put them in situations they can't get out of. I'm always going to supply a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. But God will always supply a way of escape that you may be able to stand up under it. You see, God knows what we're going to face. And he's the one who's in control. So, have you heard the word of Jesus? He laid out the plan for your forgiveness clearly in the scriptures. It begins with hearing the word, listening to what has been said, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then remaining faithful the rest of your life. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. You know, I've been preaching here at Arlington now for over 30 years. Hard to believe. And every week we give the plan of salvation. We even show the scriptural proof on the overhead. So it's not just something I'm saying. You can read it for yourself from the Bible. And yet there are people who have heard the word over and over again and who still have not obeyed, who are still not Christians. There are all kinds of excuses people make. Do you really think that when you stand before God at judgment, he's going to say, well, that's all right, I understand. I let my son die on the cross for you, but I understand why you didn't do anything. I understand why you didn't respond. Do you think he's really going to say that? Or is he going to say, I did everything for you, and you wouldn't even follow what I asked you to do? A simple thing like being baptized to have your sins washed away. Lots of people have heard the truth hundreds of times, and yet they let their hearts and minds get hardened. And if your heart and mind is hard, then the truth just bounces off. Won't you act on the words of truth today? Jesus often finished his teaching with this. He often said, he who has ears, let him hear. If you have ears, if you're willing, if you want to please God, if you want to do what's right, then listen to what he says. Won't you obey him this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?